Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people.
All right.
Amen. We've been blessed by the reading of God's word on this morning. Amen. I got a couple of things happening with my hands, so be patient with me this morning. Go ahead. We've been blessed. Be seated by the reading of God's word. All that's going to make sense, hopefully, in the minute. Psalms 116. If you had somebody, if we were in the sanctuary, I would say, turn to your sister or to your brother and say to them, I've got to pay him back.
I've got to pay him back.
If you get an opportunity, we'll kind of go through a little bit of that today and look at that Psalms 116, but we're going to have to move around a little bit quickly. It's a story of how basically good God had been to this psalmist. Basically, he talks about how he delivered him through all times of trials and things like that, tribulations and struggles. And so he's going to talk a little about that today. And even he had almost a near-death experience. So he writes this hymn as a response to what he had gone through. Is anybody with me? And so as I begin to look at him, I had to look at my own storyline this morning. If you give me a second, as I'm thinking about talking about mine, I want you to begin to think about yours. I thought about some childhood trauma that I experienced in my life. Thought about a car wreck that I'd been through. That's how I got these scars right here. People thought it was cute. It was fashionable. It's a car wreck. It's a car wreck. So I thought about that. I began to think back when my sister was little. And she had seizures. Do I need to move? She had seizures. And one time she would, when her fever got really high, my mom would have to watch her. We'd have to get in the bed with her because she'd have seizures. And so, because her fever would get so high, Robert. And one time the ambulance came. And I remember the ambulance and my mom, and it got on the back, got in the back of the ambulance with her. And I was young, but I could hear them saying something along the lines of, I think she stopped breathing. And so my mother, being a mother, her legs began to shake and they wouldn't move. They said, ma'am, we need you to step off the ambulance. But she couldn't move because the baby couldn't breathe. And so I began to look at your own life. Begin to think back at some things. And so I began to look at even, some people don't even know, I had back surgery. Went to high school, prime of your life, you're a freshman. You want to have friends and you want to be a freshman. And all of a sudden, you want to play basketball, you want to play volleyball, and they say, you've got to do a physical. Do the physical only to find out, Ronnie, that I've got scoliosis. Then I have to have surgery. Her bones have already really gotten hard and thick, so just one of the brace not going to be enough. She's going to have surgery, Julie. And so, come on, just take your mind back. I just begin to look back over some things, and I still graduated high school in the midst of all of the trauma and things that were going on. Left high school, Robert, went to a place called Republic Insurance. Went to work in insurance, no insurance experience, Ernest. Went to work in insurance and went there and stayed there 8 years. And so in the process of working with insurance, I just kept being elevated. I said I didn't have no degree. Didn't have no experience, didn't have a degree, had a high school diploma, went there in insurance. And before I knew it, working in the at-risk department, they had elevated me to lead position. Come on, somebody. Elevated me to a lead position. I just told you that I went through a difficult time, trauma, childhood, back surgery. Now I'm in a position, no experience, only a degree, and I kept getting elevated, moved up, and before you know it, I was a lead in that. You don't have to get excited. You don't have to get excited about that. I'm just telling you the story because there's a journey we're on. There's a journey we're on to show you some things. And so I looked at that and I said, wow. As God would have it, the bathroom became a lounge. They had a lounge in the bathroom, and the women would come and lounge. Well, as God would have it, while I was there, he had the audacity to make sure I was saved.
Yeah.
And so in my process of being saved, guess what? Oftentimes, women would come and say, can you pray with me? And guess what? The bathroom lounge became a sanctuary. Y'all don't hear me. And here it is. God was doing a thing with a little broken girl in so many ways. But here we are now in the lounge praying for people in the lounge. People say, can you meet me in the, y'all don't hear me, can you meet me in the lounge on break because we got to have prayer. And I said, wow. Well, I went from being saved to being teased because all the folk, Robert, that I used to hang out with, Brother Tarleton, that they begin to say was, we don't want to hang with her no more.
Oh,
Lord Jesus, help me. Anybody been there? And so the same people that I used to have drink juice with, The same ones I used to drink juice with and go to some places, some establishments with them where they would have 2-for-1. I call them establishments because we on podcast. We went to certain establishments and the men, if you were cute, you got 2-for-1 drink. Y'all better help me tell the truth in this church. And if you were cute, well, you would get some special treatment. 2-for-1 time. And so at these establishments, Robert. And so I remember saying, I don't want to go there anymore.
Right.
And they said, let's not invite the preachers. Didn't know they were prophetic. They said, let's not invite the preachers. Come on, Ernest. Let's not invite the preachers anymore. We don't want them coming. And they would talk loud over the cubicle callers so that everybody could hear. Let's not invite the preachers. Y'all don't hear me. Yeah, because we were bringing their high down. Come on. They wouldn't happen to be around. We wasn't on fun no more. And so they said, let's not invite the preachers. Here I am. I leave there and I go to work for Butler. No degree. Just finished up. Finished still in college. Finishing up my degree. Wasn't quite through yet. And the woman says, Roseanne Barr, never shall I forget her. She said, nothing on this paper says you can do the job. Nothing on this paper said, but there's something in me that says you can do the job. You hear me? So I went there working in the shelter, 24-hour shelter with children that had been abused. Y'all didn't even catch that. With children that had been abused and had childhood trauma. They were bringing in all the hours of the day and night, Julie, and the children would come right from their homes or from the juvenile department, and we have to care for children who were broken and bruised. Without a degree. Finally got the degree and continued to do the job and kept being elevated. Went in there as a child care staff. Then I became a lead child care staff. I said, I want to be a social worker one day. They said, great, we're going to shadow you with the social worker so you can hang out with the social worker and let y'all catch that. Without a degree, you hang out with a social worker until you figure all of that out. And so I began to shadow and hang out with the social worker. Then became supervisor of a high school. Where I'm telling you, they're not broken, girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is not a braggadocious statement. This is not a testimony that says, you know, I did good things or that I was awesome. I'm telling you the story of a little broken girl who went through some things. And here is, I end up at this place, and I kept being elevated. The hand of the Lord just kept being upon me. I'm supervising a high school dorm now, and I said, what minute this? Well, life went on, and so as time went on, I went on to buy cars and paid cars off, paid cars off, and the credit score began to increase. Yeah, paid cars off. Then I said, I guess I'll buy me a house, bought a house, and had good credit, was able to get a house, got a house, got a car. God, life is looking good. Then all of a sudden, something else happened, Gab. There was a man by the name of Tim Williams.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want me to tell this story with the devil, but I'm going to tell it. And so God, I'm just trying to show you the hand of God, but you're thinking about your own story. Think about your own story. And guess what? Early on in our marriage, I began to pay bills, Brother Talton. But my life got really busy. I got a lot of extra jobs and ministry things. So my husband said, I'll pay the bills. And I can tell you this, as God is my witness, I have not paid a bill, and I don't know the last time. Somebody ought to give God praise right there. Because I know some women, I know the story of some women who will say, my husband won't even pay a bill. I wish y'all help me tell the truth. And so here it is, I got a man who said, I'll take care of everything. And so I don't even know, I guess the light bill been paid. I know the lights are on. I guess the water, everything is on. And so here it is, God bless me with a man that believes in providing for the family. Then lo and behold, something else happened. Got pregnant, Robert. Y'all don't hear me. And then at the moment of childbirth, something hard happened, Carlos. They said the baby won't come out. Yeah. If anybody looking at you, you'll just start running right now. Just start running. They said the baby won't come out. And so my mama got nervous. And so she, behind the pastor, was getting all upset because they were having trouble because I got this, remember that surgery? So I got scar tissue in my back. Y'all, it's a whole complicated conversation. All you need to know is she was born and she's alive and well.
Yeah.
come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just taking a trip down. If you would help me retrace your own steps and then begin to ask yourself, how much do I really owe God?
Yeah.
Does anybody know that they owe God today? Does anybody know they owe God? I mean, we owe God big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about that habit that you got. Come on. That habit that you have is that you've been trying to kick and coax him to get a handle of, and you're still here. You are God big time.
Come on.
Our children, God, when they leave in the morning, there's no guarantee they're going to come home in the evening. God kept our children. Oh, we owe God. We owe God. I was thinking about, remember that last time you had that last $30 and it was Monday? And you didn't get paid till Friday? Come on, Amber.
Come on.
I don't know how God did it, but you had lunch and you had gas. I wish somebody tell the truth. And all of what God was doing, it's amazing that we forget that we owe God big time.
Come on.
Look at this. You know that task. You know that test you had, jazz and gas. You didn't even really study for that test. But lo and behold, you don't even understand how you passed it anyhow. Come on, I'm just trying to get you to understand. We owe God big time.
Yeah.
You know how you're not supposed to be here right now, and he just let you live. We owe God big time. Anybody been in a car wreck and walked away from it?
Yeah.
We owe God big time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, he met our needs and he met our wants. We owe God big time. Somebody said, why she preaching about this? Because I believe everybody in the chair. I believe everybody sitting in the car. I believe everybody that's on the podcast got a story. And I want to remind them today, Holy Ghost help me, we owe God big time.
Yeah.
If I had time to pass the mic around, some folk would go along with me today. I'm talking about some things we don't even think about that are significant. I mean, if you had surgery and you woke up.
Yeah.
Okay, you owe God big time. I'm talking about if you went through a divorce and he got the toaster and you got the blender and he got the dog and you got the cat and you lost your mind for a minute, you start losing weight. Hadn't been to Jenny Craig, hadn't been to Weight Watchers. But guess what? God gave you your joy back. Come on. God gave you your joy back.
Yeah.
You owe God big time.
Come on.
I'm just talking about that car that got repossessed. You know that car that got repossessed?
Yeah.
And now you're driving a brand new one. I'm telling you, you owe God big time today.
Yeah.
You know that job that you lost? You got that pink slip and you walked out, didn't know what you were going to do. Oh, but guess what? You got the job of your dream job.
Yeah.
The job you always wanted. I'm saying today we owe God big time. The question is, I've got to pay him back.
Yeah.
In my mind, the psalmist was saying, I got to figure out God's been too wonderful. God's been too kind. I've got to find a way to pay him back.
Yeah.
I met my mom and dad when I was young. My mom and my dad, they separated. And they finally divorced. One of the things she said was, all I got is God and determination. I said, okay, I was young. She said, I got God and determination. She said, before we go back, we'll eat grass. And I said, oh, excuse me. Y'all don't want to tell the truth. Excuse me. Could I tell my real testimony? She said, before we go back, we will eat grass. I want y'all to know from that day to this day, I've never had grass. I'm trying to let you know today I owe God big time. I owe God big time. But guess what the truth of the matter is that some folks really had to go to certain kinds of foods if they didn't have a steak. Come on. You owe God big time. You know somebody man-made sandwich.
Come on.
You know something about putting the ketchup and two breads. Y'all better help me tell the truth. Guess what? You know my beans and franks. Guess what? Beans and franks became so popular, they decided to put them in a can together. Y'all don't hear me? I'm here to tell you today that we owe God big time.
Yeah.
The issue is how are we going to pay him back?
Come on.
Look at this. He says, look, I love the Lord, what does he say? Because he had heard my voice and my supplications. Little old me, God heard me.
Yeah.
Little old me, broken me, messed up me. He heard me and answered me, the psalmist said, when I was in a hard season.
Come on.
I was in a hard season, and guess what? There were moments in there that I couldn't even pray. Have you ever been there before?
Yeah.
There were moments in the hard season, he said, when I had silent prayers.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you this. Some of my most powerful prayers have been like this. Y'all didn't catch that. Yeah. silent prayer. See, I was too embarrassed to pray sometimes. I was too hurt to pray sometimes. And so, guess what? God, the psalmist said that he'll hear silent prayer.
Yeah.
Ah, the Bible says that he'll take your moanings and your groanings, and the Holy Spirit will take them to the Father. He said, even your silent prayers, God hears. Somebody say, I owe God big time. I owe God big time. Look at this psalmist. This is a psalm of gratitude. That's all it was. It's a psalm of gratitude. He was saying, this is a, I'm grateful for God Jehovah, but I'm determined. I'm going to attempt some kind of way to do a repayment plan for his blessings. I'm trying to figure out what can I give. I'm trying to figure out how can I repay him, because I owe him big time. Well, let's keep on reading. If you read 2 through 10, you'll see some of the things that he went through. And he's seeing God's hand in his life. Then he gets to verse 11 and says something strange. He said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What? All men, they don't even fit in there. 2 through 9, he's talking, 2 through 10, he's talking about some things that he went through. But he just says, out of nowhere, Robert, all men are liars. Let me help you understand what he was saying. He said, I've been hurt by some people that I thought I could trust.
Amen.
I've been hurt by some people that I thought I could count on. That's all he's really saying. He said,
come
and
on,
I discovered my conclusion was that I can't trust nobody but God. Did y'all see that?
Right.
That's what he was saying right there, Julie. He said, wait a minute. These people, I've been there for them. Take a step down memory lane. I'm talking about I fed their kids when their kids needed food. I got their kids diapers. And these very people that I counted on, he said, stab me in the back.
Yeah.
These same people. You know, they asked me for $20. My sister's calling it a hot 20. I gave them a hot 20 to make it to payday, and they turned around and talked about me in the community.
Yeah.
Those same people, he said, all men are liars. He said, I was a supervisor, and guess what? I fixed the time for the single mother. Sometimes the single moms couldn't get back on time because they have to go home on lunch and check on the children. So I would fix their time. But them very same people that I fixed their time, Julie, some kind of way they forgot they had amnesia, and they stabbed me in the back. But somebody go with me right there. He said, all men are liars. He said, but let me tell you, I can't stay on that verse too long. He said, because when every time I got hurt, God healed me. Every time they dropped me, God picked me up.
Yeah.
Come on. Every time I attempted to get better, God made me better.
Yeah.
I just came by to tell you, I owe God today. I owe God today big time. You know, because you know what happened? You know how I know God is in my life? Because them same people that stabbed me in the back, I can say, good morning. How you doing? How you cheering? Come on, help me. How you cheering doing? Because guess what? In the place of where there was hurt, God healed.
That's why
I know I owe him big time. Because guess what? When they stabbed me in the back and they steal me the gas, some kind of way I went in my purse. That's how I know I owe God big time.
Yeah.
Look at verse 12. The psalmist gets us here, and he is saying, I'm confused. I don't really know how to do it. I'm looking at everything. I'm looking back. I'm tracing back in memory all of God's hand, all the things, all of his goodness, all the things I've come through. And he says, I have to ask this question, what shall I render unto the Lord? You see verse 12? Unto the Lord, is that in your Bible? For all of his benefits toward me. What shall I bring as an offering?
Yeah.
What shall I pay the Lord? What can I offer to the Lord to say thank you?
Yeah.
Now, I got to change resources, Robert, because I got real confused on some of this. I started reading and said, wait a minute. This, for some of this right here, didn't make no sense.
Uh-huh.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I have to look up the benefits in Hebrew. And the benefits word in Hebrews means grace and favor.
Come on.
So I can change the sentence. What shall I render unto the Lord for his grace and favor towards me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me help you. Grace and favor look like this, Sister Kirby. You can go to the neighborhood thrift store and get you an outfit, and they'll thank you being the Masons. That's favor. That's favor.
Yeah.
That's favor. I'm trying to tell you, a single mom only got one income, Robert. She can put her children in gymnastics and football and basketball and track and don't even understand how she's doing it. That's favor.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
That's
come on.
Favor. And so here it is. I had to peek in my own life. I had to begin to look at this thing and say, wait a minute. I've seen some of that same grace. I've seen some of that same favor.
Yeah.
I just told you the story because it didn't make no sense to give me the position I had and wasn't qualified for it. Because they said a degree qualified you for the position, but God said, I can do whatever I will with whomever I will because I'm sovereign.
Amen.
So he says, what shall I render? Now, this is strange. It's just tricky right here. What shall I render unto the Lord for his benefits toward me? Look at verse 13. It says, I will take the cup of salvation.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stop right there. I will take, because I got a comma. I will take the cup. Okay, the question was, what can I give? He answers by saying, I will take. What can I give to the Lord? What can I render to him for his benefits? And then he answers himself and said, I will take the cup of salvation. I had to research that. I had to go to the Hebrew and check that out. Because the reality of it is, I think right there, Robert, he got a little confused because he said, wait a minute. How can I give the Lord anything if he owns everything? Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it that I can give the Lord that he don't already have? So he said, wait a minute. So before I went to the cup, I had to go check out cups. I had to go research cups because cups is all through the Bible. This is a metaphorical expression. It's symbolic. So it wasn't a real cup. So I went to look at another cup. I went to Psalms 23. Y'all remember that? Lord's my shepherd?
Yeah.
I shall not want. So I went on down to where it says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointed my head with oil, my
cup.
Come on, somebody been to Julie Sunday school class. My cup running over. I had to stop and think, wait a minute. Your cup is running over every time you walk in the freezer, Linda, and you have to decide what meat to cook. Come on, my cup is running over. Every time you walk in the food pantry, and you have to decide what shall I cook today. See, I want you to know God's been good to you. Your cup is running over. Every time the pastor walk in the closet, he said, I don't have enough room because your stuff is... Okay. Our cups are running over. Every time you call your bank and they say you got some money in there, your cup is running over.
Yeah.
Then I went to that, because that cup right there in Psalms, that's the cup of blessings. That's the cup of blessings. Okay, that means your cup is running over. Some of y'all got some kids in college, and you're trying to figure out how are they going to do it. You say, I don't have enough scholarship, no grants, and they're still in school doing good. Guess what? Your cup.
It's running over.
Yeah. Well, then I found another cup. There's a cup of suffering. I remember going to the gospel, and I saw Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And you remember what he said? He said, now I'll go over there and pray. I'm going to go over there and talk to the Father. And he says, Father, if it be possible, take this. Cup. Yeah, y'all are with me today.
Amen.
Take this cup from me.
Yeah.
The cup of suffering. Let me help you understand something. I know somebody told you when you gave your life to the Lord, when you joined the Best Seda Church, somebody told you everything was going to be easy freezy. Somebody told you it was going to be sunshine every day. But the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
So every now and then, Julie, I don't care who your mama is. I don't care who your pastor is. Every now and then, you will have to cry sometimes.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you'll have some trouble.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you'll have some cloudy days.
Yeah.
We'd rather have the cup of blessings overflow.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when you'll have a cup of suffering, when stuff will happen. And Jesus even said, let this cup pass from me. Then he came to himself and he said, nevertheless, at your will, I'll do your will. So look at this cup, back to the salvation cup. I will take the cup of salvation. Mm-hmm. I will take the cup of salvation. I just realized I can't give God something that he already has. So in order for me to give it, pay him back, I got to lean more on him.
Yeah.
In order for me to pay him back, I got to trust him and lean on him a little bit more. Because God gets excited when I realize I'm not independent.
Yeah.
So here it is. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. I had to read that and study that a little. Robert right there and check it out. Look at that. The cup of salvation. I said, wait a minute. The best way to pay him back was to drink the cup. The best way to pay him back was to take the cup of salvation. Now, this is my favorite cup. Cup of blessings is good. cup of suffering, I understand it, but the cup of salvation. This is where fallen humanity and the cross meet.
Yeah.
In that cup. In the cup of salvation, this is where dope heads become deacons. Y'all don't hear me. Yeah. In the cup of salvation, here it is, we have strippers that begin to be praise and worship leaders.
Yeah.
In this cup, the cup of salvation, the best cup, you'll find people who are thieves. I heard the pastor's testimony. People who are thieves and God make them pastors.
Yeah.
That's the cup of salvation. I think that's the best cup. That's the best cup. And then the Bible even said him like this, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't understand that, my grandmama said it like this, I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new.
Yeah.
I looked at my feet, and they did too. I'm trying to get you to understand, this was the cup of salvation. Now, let me tell you, if you go to work tomorrow, and somebody you know that has not accepted Christ, you want to tell them, baby, take the cup of salvation. Let me know. Let me tell you why we ought to encourage them to do that. Because some of us here have had another cup. Not you, because you're underage. Some of these other people over here have had another kind of cup. They may act like they haven't had one, Gab, because you're sitting here. But, and they think they on, on podcast and it's being recorded. So they don't want to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. There's some other people here that's had a different kind of cup.
Yeah.
But what happened is when that cup was empty, you was empty. Y'all missed it.
Yeah.
When that cup was empty, your joy was gone.
Yeah.
Somebody here going to let me know today, tell me the truth. Go ahead and give you can blow your horn and holler out at me.
Yeah.
Somebody here had another kind of cup.
Yeah.
You had another kind of cup. My God.
Take the cup
of salvation.
Yeah.
He said, all I can pay him back is I gotta take what he's offering.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I gotta take what he's giving to me. Take what he's offering. And his perfect plan for Cheryl, everybody saying out here was what? Was to be saved.
Yeah.
His perfect plan was for us to take the cup of salvation. One time I was telling you, I went out to one of those establishments. I don't know why I keep finding myself at those establishments. I went to one of those establishments, Julie, and my cousin and I went to one of those establishments, and it was an establishment where there's a lot of music.
Yeah.
A lot of music, but it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want me to tell it. Okay. Yeah, and so it's kind of dark in this establishment, and I had some juice on my table, Why she always got juice on her table, I don't know, Lord. And she got some juice on me. She got some juice on my table at the establishment. Because I didn't have a cup of salvation, girl. I had another kind of cup. And what happened was, my cousin and I said, we ready to go. I said, we ready to go. We had been sitting there just enjoying the establishment. Just enjoying the view. Just enjoying the loud music and drinking us a little grape juice. And so what happened was, we got ready to leave. And so, we were going toward the car, and she reached like this for my keys, Julie. She reached for my keys like this, Brother Tarleton. And I said, no. I said, I can. She said, you can't even say it. Give me the keys. You can't even say it. Give me the keys. I'll drive. And we drove on to the house and got close to the house. And so along the way, something started happening to my stomach. And so I was waving. I couldn't say stop the car. I was waving and hitting the dashboard. Y'all don't remember, y'all let me tell a story, okay. I was hitting the dashboard, and she knew that meant stop the car. And what happened? She stopped the car. I opened the door. Well, you can figure out the rest. And so what happens is, I get to the house, and I go to sleep at her house, because I can't go home, because that's Medea's house. Y'all don't want me to tell this story today. And so what happens is, Medea called early that morning, and she said, wake up, Medea calling you. And I said, why y'all talking so loud? And she cut the light on. I said, why is it so bright in here? Y'all don't want me to tell the story. I'm married to the pastor. I know it. And so here it is. It was loud, and it was too bright. And she said, Medea said, come on over here and put the clothes on the line.
Uh-huh.
Y'all knew about the clothes on the line. Y'all thought I was cute in 20, but I'm not. I know about the clothes on the line, Robert. And she said, Medea said, get up right now and come on over here and put the clothes on the line. Let me help you. It wasn't a particular time that the clothes had to be on the line. Medea had been praying for me to get the cup right. Y'all, Medea had been praying for me because I was always going to those establishments and I always had the wrong cup. And Medea was praying that I would have the cup of salvation. Y'all don't hear me. And so she would wake me up and say, come on, put the clothes on the line. Now, mind you, I promise you, it's no way that the even the bird's not even out. It's too early to put the clothes on the line. And Medea said, come on, put the clothes on the line. And I'm telling you, when I put my clothes on the line, I could feel something behind me. I think Medea was just putting her hand like that. She was praying as I was putting the, y'all don't want to tell the truth. Medea was praying, I think, while I was putting the clothes. She was the only woman I know that could get up with comfort going through the house. And she would call every grandchild, every child's name out before the Lord. She was saying, Lord, let them get the cup right.
Yeah.
The cup of salvation. And so that's my Medea story. Well, it's real simple. Sometimes we make it hard for people.
Come on.
We say, we need you to get the cup of salvation. God wants you to get the cup of salvation. And we make it hard. We make it hard. Too hard for people, Carlos. Let me tell you what happened. We make it too hard for people. That's why I watch CSI, Chicago, PD, The Rookie, All Rise. Y'all watch some cop shows? The police shows? This is what I found out. I found out is, if you are guilty, all you got to do is cop a plea. Somebody should have got happy. All you got to do is cop a plea with the judge before you meet him. What does that mean, Cheryl? That means go ahead and admit that you're guilty so you can get a lot of sinners. Y'all help me. Come on. Go ahead and cop a plea. And that's what I'm saying today. I want somebody to know. All we did, we didn't do all that they said we did. You make it too hard. All we did was say we did it.
Yeah.
Yes, y'all. If you're going to get the cup of salvation, just tell folks, don't make it hard. Say you got to go into the judge and just say, I did it.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that you did it. Okay. Slapping the wrong bed, did it. Drink out the wrong cup, did it. I knew that wasn't my wife, did it. I knew that wasn't my husband, did it. Anybody, I lied, did it. You got to go before the judge and let the judge know, judge, I'm guilty of everything they say.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. Then we get into the courtroom. Just give them a little court scene. You got to help them get the picture, Robert. So then they get into the court scene. We get to the judge, you've already copped your plea. And guess what? The adversary, the devil. The prosecutor, he gonna go to the stand, he gonna testify. He gonna tell the judge everything that you did in your past.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's all good because you already told him. You did it.
Yeah.
And so here it is. He goes on to say, everything that she's done this, Your Honor, and she's done this, Your Honor, and she's done that, Your Honor. And so everything she said, she's done it.
So you're
standing there, and everything he repeated, you remember it. Everything he's saying, you remember it.
Yeah.
Everything he's saying coming back to you.
Yeah.
You remember, yes, I'm guilty. I did it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your attorney, because guess what? You couldn't afford one. Your court-appointed attorney will walk in. And then he said, well, how I know he's my court-appointed attorney? Because he'll be the one with the nail prints in his hand. My God, the court-appointed attorney, he'll come in and he'll say, I'm here on the behalf of Cheryl.
Yeah.
I'm here on the behalf of Robert.
Yeah.
I'm here on the behalf of Eugene. Her case has been dismissed. Y'all don't hear me. Every time they bring up your past, all you got to say is, baby, Jesus already dropped the charges. Look at this. I'm trying to get you to see. Let's not make it hard. Let's let the people know. All you got to do is switch cups.
Yeah.
God wants you to have a cup of salvation. Your case is already. Okay, last verse. We got to get out of here. Look at that. The attorney comes there on your behalf. He says, you know what? The attorney says this on your behalf. He says, she ain't perfect, but she took the cup.
Yeah.
She don't always do it right,
but
she took the cup. He don't always say the right things, but she took the cup. And then, you know, I look at the bills the other day, because, you know, I tell you, I don't pay the bills. Somebody pay them. I went to the bills the other day, and I looked at it. I looked at my light bill and the water bill. And on there, what it says is, here is what you owe for the services that we provided for you.
All right.
For this month, you owe this amount because you were able to use our water.
Come on.
You owe this amount because we allowed you to have light.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, self, if the Lord would send us a bill at the end of the month saying, this is what you owe for all the services that I have provided for you.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody here would have enough money to pay. Let's start over. Today is May 30. Let's go to May 1st. May 1st, I'll woke you up.
Yeah.
How much is that worth? Y'all come on. You were able to breathe without an oxygen tank.
Yeah.
How much is that worth?
Yeah.
You were able to get yourself dressed. Oh, put one leg out the bed and you was able to walk. I wonder how much that is worth.
Yeah.
I just want to count every day what God, from May 1st until now, have you looked at if God were to give you the bill, would you be able to pay it?
Come on.
When you got out of the bed, he said, I already dispatched my angels to watch over you and keep you in all your ways.
Yeah,
Before you got out there in that truck, I had a plan already. I said, angels, you assigned to Robert. Angel, you assigned to Willie Roy. Angel, you assigned to... We had an angel assigned to us all day and all night.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on.
God, will we be able to pay the bill at the end of the... other month? How much would it be? We got to go on. That was 13a. 13b says, I will take the cup. Somebody said, take the cup. Just trying to keep you away. Take the cup. Then he says, and call upon, the name of the Lord. We talked about the cup salvation. That's the good cup. That's the forgiveness cup. That's the rescue cup.
Yeah.
That's the love cup. We love the cup of salvation. He said, but guess what else? I will call on the name of the Lord. Had to look at that. He said, it's not a prayer. I had to go to the Hebrew again. And he said, that's not a prayer. You got to look at that again. And call on the name of the Lord. I have to look at it. He said, when I studied the Hebrew, it says, that means call on the name of the Lord. That statement, that phrase, metaphorically, is referring to, I will praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Not a prayer. He says, I will premeditate. I will pre-plan to give God praise.
All right.
Okay. So, praise, he said, it's intentional.
Yeah.
I'm going to intentionally praise God for everybody to see.
Amen. Yeah.
So the son had come into the temple. And he was saying, I'm going to come into the church, and what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do a roll check. Okay, everybody on my roll, I need you to know, yes, I'm going to praise God today.
Yeah.
You may see me holler every now and then. You may see me holler out to the preacher every now and then. You may see me crying on this bench. I need to let y'all know on this road, I came in to give him glory. I came in to give him honor. I didn't come to be cute today. I want you to know on this road that I'm intentionally, I'm premeditating, I done pre-planned it. I didn't drive from Red Oak to Mahal to look at you. I came all the way here because I pre-planned it and premeditated that if he woke me up, whether I felt like it or not, I was going to give him praise.
Yeah.
Whether I looked like it or not, I was going to give him praise.
Yeah.
Whether I got my stimulus check or not, I was going to give him praise.
Yeah.
I already planned it. It's already in my heart and in my mind. Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Because I owe God big time. Something happened right here. I remember the old school church, Pastor Williams, and I went to the other church, before. And in this church, they would have ushers there. And the usher would come and fan you. Somebody should have felt out laughing right there. The usher would come and fan you. Then they'll give you a fan. And sometimes you got the dancing. They get in the circle and put you in the circle. And then sometimes they would come over there and try to get you to calm down and all this kind of stuff. And so this right here, this not going to work in that kind of church. Because I done premeditated, I done pre-planned it, and you don't know my story.
All right,
so you don't know my story, so I'm going to tell you right now, when I come in, I don't want no usher. When I come in, I don't need no fan. When I come in, don't give me no circle. When I come in, all I need you to do is hold my purse.
on your feet. Because I owe God big time.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. This it is. He it is. I love this right here. It's a holler. I love that. I thought about that. I said, I wonder how that works. Do they still do that at churches now? They fan when the earth will come out and fan you, trying to hold you, calm you down, trying to hold your Holy Ghost. I don't know if they still do that or not, but guess what? I'm glad we don't have that bad saying, because you can run at this church. You can holler and you can run at this church. Look what he said. Look what he says. He said, if you look up to like verse 4, I think it was, he said, death had a grip on me.
Yeah.
How you going to keep me from praising God? I'm going to praise him on purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to praise him on purpose when I walk in. He said, death had a grip on me.
Yeah.
And God spared my life.
Yeah.
I don't need no fan.
Yeah.
He said, do you understand what I'm saying? He said, God, he said, I was sick. Have you ever been sick and had to go to ER? And you made it through that?
Yeah.
God spared your life.
Yeah.
You don't need no fan. Don't need no usher. I mean, you've been in a car wreck and you walked away from it.
Yeah.
You don't need no rest. You don't need no fan. Okay, I'm going to say, bring close to home. You had COVID-19. Y'all don't want to go with me today. You had COVID-19 and you lived through it.
All right.
I said, God spared your life. You owe God big time. I mean, I'm talking about even Julie, the folk that wanted to take their own selves out. Suicide was on the horizon. And we said, guess what? I'll take the pills. I'll drive the car. And God had mercy and stopped the car. God had mercy and stopped taking the pills. God spared our life. We don't need a usher. We don't need a friend. God, death had a grip on my life and God spared me. How I dare not show up and give him what's due him. What can I pay? What can I render unto the Lord for his benefits toward me? Verse 14, God close this out. Verse 14, look at that. He says, I will pay, what does that say? My vows unto the Lord now.
All right.
In the presence of his people. Joshua.
Yeah.
I'll pay my vows now.
Yeah.
I never know sense to know. I owe God now.
Yeah.
I owe God now. He kept my life now. He kept my mind now. So I will keep my vows. When you made a vow, a vow was serious. A vow was serious. I mean, serious even unto death. I will keep my word. I said I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my... I'm going to keep my vow. I'm going to right now, in the presence of all his people, give him praise now.
Yeah.
Look at that. He said, wait a minute. I'm going to do it right now. My husband, we talk about this all the time. It's called PDA. Public Display of Affection. You know, it's like I tell these young girls I work with all the time. This little girl said, my boyfriend never takes me out in the public, but he wants to come over late at night. He'll bring food and candles, and it's romantic, but he won't take me out, Robert. He won't take me out in public. And then, you know, I ain't never met his family yet. It's like he's keeping me on the down low. I'm sorry, Gail called it low key. On the low key. And so I never seen his people before. He never takes me out in the public so I can dress up nice and put on my perfume. There's never a public display. Come on. And that's what he's saying right here. In the public, I will give God praise. Come on, somebody. In the public, I will give God praise. You got to watch them undercover lovers. Did I say that out loud? I did. Undercover lovers. God said, I don't want no undercover lovers, no low-key Christian. I don't care if you're in the HEB line. Do people know that you know me?
All right.
If you love God, somebody ought to know that you love Jesus.
Come on.
Here it is. I was thinking about the other day, the HEB line, and here it is. And I was in Walmart thing, and was scanning your stuff, the self-service thing, scanning the one the pastor don't like, scanning your stuff. Even there, you can get happy. The woman come over and say, you need some help, man? And you ain't got happy. No, I don't need no help. I was just scanning this shredded cheese. And I was thinking back when we used to have government block cheese.
Yeah.
I just got happy. And the girl said, y'all have government block cheese? Come on. I'm going to talk about God in the public. I'm going to let people know whose side I'm on in the public.
Yeah.
Wherever I am.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm not going to be no undercover lover. I'm going to always speak well of God. I don't care if I'm in HEB or where I am. And people say things like, "My job, you lucky. You lucky. You lucky." I have to stop them, Julia, and say, "No, I ain't never been lucky, but I always been blessed." I ain't never been lucky. They said, "Look, you drove all the way from where you drive over here in traffic over to this new facility. Look, you lucky. You lucky, man. I'm not lucky." Oh, I saw a picture of Dan Rilla. They said, "Oh, your daughter's beautiful. Oh, you lucky." No, no, no. I'm not lucky. I'm loved. Loved by the best. And so, take the cup of salvation. Take the cup. Then the other one says, "What? What else we going to do? We're going to take the cup. We're going to give him praise. We're going to give him our life." So first thing he said was, let's love him with our life.
Come on, come on.
We just said that. The cup of salvation says, "I'm going to give you my whole life." And then second one says, "I'm going to give you my lips. I'm going to make sure, every time I open my mouth, I'm going to make sure that I'm giving you a praise that is due your name."
Yeah.
And then the third one says, "I'm not going to do it when nobody going to hear me. I'm not going to do it when nobody going to see me. I'm going to live my life for God out loud."
Yeah.
My life is not a whisper.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out loud for God. Guess what? I'm not going to be scared to fit in no more. It doesn't matter. I done been there, done that, got a t-shirt. I don't want to fit in no more anyway. I'm going to live my life out loud for God. I'm going to live my life on purpose. Anybody with me? I'm going to live passionately for God. Live it out loud. I ain't gonna be scared to let my light shine. I'm gonna let other folk know about it.
Come on,
if he brought me through, I'm gonna let you know about it.
Yeah.
There's some folk that say, "You know, I praise God from, you know, stuff that he kept me from." And that's good. You know, God kept me from some stuff. That's good.
Yeah.
But most of us up in here on this parking lot, we praise God for some things that he kept us through. There's some things that we just give God praise on things that he kept us through. So here it is. I decided to live my life out loud. I'm going to let people know he's not the man upstairs. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say who he is. I'm going to be who I am without apology. I'm a child of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Live your life out loud. Tell them that God rewrote your story. I enjoy everything that God has given me, and I enjoy everything that God has done. There was a time when I was at the establishment when my mind was, when my mind wasn't right. But guess what? He came and came to see about me and changed my mind about some things. So I'm not afraid or ashamed to let anybody know out loud. Guess what? I got my mind back.
Yeah.
Anybody got their mind back? So he says, what I'm going to do right here is I'm going to celebrate. This is Willie Roy right here. He said, I'm going to do some things. I'm going to celebrate that, guess what? I'm stronger, that I'm better, and I'm wiser. So right now, he said, in this season, all of what you've seen and heard me say, trials and tribulations that God's brought me through and established in my life, what I'm going to do now is publicly let everybody know. I'm going to serve him in the public. I'm going to love him in the public.
Yeah.
I'm going to give in the public.
Yeah.
If Bethsaida called me and they said, "Linda, we're going to be out there serving food in the parking lot at Walmart to the homeless people." Guess what? I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to be down there with my apron on. Y'all come on, go with me. I'm going to be down there and with my apron on at Walmart serving the people, because guess what? That's what I do. I love the Lord, and guess what? I want to be a servant for him. So I'm going to love him out loud. I'm going to serve him out loud. I can't wait. Can anybody wait to get back inside the building? Somebody said, "I'm waiting on the building to open up right now," because guess what? I need to live my life out loud. I've been too quiet for over a year. I haven't done nothing. I ain't fed nobody. I have some of the songs at the nursing home. So guess what? Once we get back, we got to live our life out loud in public. Nursing home open, we on our way. Put us on the calendar. Y'all going to give out some baskets to the people in the community? Y'all giving out some fruit? Sign me up. Put my name on the list, because I'm going to live my life out loud, because I owe God big time.
What
else y'all doing? What else y'all got going on? Whatever you got going on, I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going through a hard time, but I'm going to trust it. I'm going to trust him out loud. I'm going to believe him out loud. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. So the psalmist got real excited here and began to say, wait a minute. There's some things I'm going to do out loud in the public, premeditated, pre-planned. I'm going to praise him on public. I'm going to serve him on purpose in public. I'm going to love him on purpose. I'm not going to be ashamed of who he is. If they want somebody in the choir, I sign me up. I'm going to the choir. They want somebody to be first impression ministry. If the people come in the house and they need somebody to greet them, sign me up.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah.
I got some false teeth, but I can handle it.
Yeah.
I can smile and greet the people. Go ahead and sign my name. What is it God wants me to do? He's been waiting now. We've all been waiting for over 14 months.
Yeah.
It's about time to get back busy and live our lives out loud for God. People have been waiting on us. Okay, I'm going to say that again. People have been waiting on us. And so now that we're back to get back in the building, guess what? We're getting back in the building to get out the building. So y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. We're going to come back in the building and huddle only to get back out.
Yeah.
It's a cute church, but it's not supposed to be a monument. It's supposed to be an instrument.
Yeah.
So once we decide to get back in the building, guess what? We ought to walk in and say, sign me up. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. I'm ready. I'm ready to do a work for the Lord. I've been on hold. I've been on pause for over 12 months, and enough is enough.
All right.
It's time for me to praise Him out loud. It's time for me to serve Him out loud. I'm premeditating. It's going to be pre-planned. As soon as the pastor said, I'm going to be ready. Walk in there. And so they're talking about that transitional living, what they want me to do. They want me to teach a class. I can do that. Because guess what? I'm going to do everything I do on purpose.
All right.
I'm going to do it as a sign of paying Him back. Does anybody owe the Lord?
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it to get on y'all's program, get on your podcast, leave my name off the program. I'm doing it because I owe Him.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it to get in the newspaper. Bethsaida fed the hungry people. Guess what? Leave our name off. Okay, y'all didn't catch that? Leave our names off. Don't blame the cameras. We just owe God.
Yeah.
We owe Him big time. And for what He's done, the question is still, what shall I?
Come on.
Not my mama, not my husband. What shall I render unto the Lord for His benefits toward me?
All right.
I'm going to pay Him back by taking a cup of salvation.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Him back by giving my whole life. I'm going to pay Him back by giving my whole life. I'm going to pay Him back by doing what? Praising Him out loud.
Yeah.
When I show up, you know how we come sometimes. We come in sometimes, and you know, we say, good morning. We're not really interested in being here. Sometimes you come in, you had a hard week, Robert. And people say, good morning, bless the Lord. I'm highly favored and blessed. You say, yeah, that's good. God even overlooked when we failed to praise Him. He even overlooked when we failed to say thank you. Wow.
Come on.
But if He sends the bill this week, because of all He did in the month of May, the first of the month bill is coming this week, Ernest. And when that bill comes, the question is, let me look at it and see what all He has provided for me in 130 days.
All right.
And when they're going out to give the people food and baskets, and when they ask me to go and minister to people, and maybe at the AA and NA, and go encourage people and encourage the people that are broken and bruised, well, oh, I'm going to be busy that day. No. I got to pay Him back.
Yeah.
I've got to pay Him back. And the thing about it is, you can't pay my bill. Robert? You can't. If I bought you the light bill and the water bill, you say, well, since we don't help you out with that. But I'm saying there's some stuff that happened in May I can't even tell you about. So I've got to pay Him back.
Yeah.
For what He's done. I'm thinking about even Jazz, and I'm done. Jazz and Gabriella. The kids we have, Bethsaida, Myla, Michael, Poppy. The kids we have in college, the kids that have graduated college. Is there anything too hard for God?
Well.
The little kids came from Teague. Came from the hair. Where these kids come from? Coolidge. Hannah, Jordan. All of them graduating. What shall we render?
All right.
unto God. Jazz about to walk across the stage. Marlon walked across the stage. Poppy walked across the stage. Jordan walked across the stage. And Gaz said, don't forget me. And Gaz about to walk across the stage. What shall we render?
Come on, come on.
I saw a picture the other day of our friends in March. And the woman's grandson was lying cold on the bed. Not because he did anything wrong. He was at a friend's house and the friend shot him in his sleep. That mother won't see a graduation. Not because we've been so great. It's just grace and favor. What shall we render unto him?
All right, all right.
For his benefit toward us. I'm going to stop and say right now, I am going to, if you'll join me, you can stand up and hobble and join with me and hit the horn. If you are going to right now pay your vows unto the Lord, right now in the presence of all his people, go ahead right now and give him about 30 seconds of payment. Come on, somebody. Give him about 30 seconds of payment. 30 seconds of payment. 30 seconds of payment. 30 seconds of payment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 If you have a believer, if you have a saint that come to church that don't never raise their hand, come on somebody. If you have a believer that come to church that don't ever cry, that don't ever shout, that don't ever run, you better check that believer. You better check them. They might be sitting in church dead. Every time we come in before his presence, in the presence of his people, we ought to have a praise on our lips.
Yeah.
If not, that means we got amnesia. Somebody's forgotten that we owe God big time.
Yeah.
Every time we get together, that's just a good 30 seconds. Just to think about if our whole lives were a thank offering. Our whole being was a fake offering. How I treat my coworkers is a fake offering. It's a payment plan. I'm trying to determine how to repay him. Every time he gives us breath, there ought to be a payment plan. So I'm excited about that word today. I want to share that with you all today. That as you go throughout this week, we pray this word would chase you. We pray this word would chase you.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting on tomorrow, Memorial Day, if you get out of the bed. Matter of fact, today, if you make it through the day.
Yeah.
If you make it through the day and get home and have food and have an air conditioner, it's a reason to lift your hands.
Yeah.
It's a reason to lift your hands. I'm concerned about people.
Yeah.
Who got short memories. Who got amnesia. Because some of them, the truth be told, we're supposed to have a number across our chest. Y'all didn't catch that.
Yeah.
If the truth be told, we're supposed to have a number across our chest.
Yeah.
Some people, they done lied on their taxes, add extra children. Y'all don't want to tell the truth. Add extra children that wasn't theirs, and they're walking around free. God's been good to them.
Yeah.
God's been good to us.
Yeah.
And like the psalmist, we are left with the question to answer, what in the world can I give him?
Yeah.
What can I give him? What can I give him? I've had some attitude days, and he still gave me grace and mercy.
Yeah.
What shall I render to his benefits, his grace toward me? No broken girl.
Yeah.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, one day he decides, I'm going to call you to preach. Who does that, Ernest? Who does that? Who knows your whole story and still wants you?
Yeah.
Who knows your whole story and still want to use you?
Thank you.
Who knows your whole story and decided to keep you alive?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. And if somebody wonder what you at church, and they say, I don't know why you always hollering. Why are you always throwing your hands up? Go up, get ready. Say, it's because my hallelujah belongs to him.
Yeah.
That wasn't for you anyway. y'all didn't hear me.
Yeah.
My thank you, Jesus, that was for him. That wasn't for you anyway.
Yeah.
It belongs to him. It belongs to him. Think about this. Meditate on this. It belongs to him. Why are you behind a payment? Why are you behind a payment? And he cut mine off.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise.
Does he deserve it?
Come on, everybody, all over the room.
Does he deserve it? Come on, meditate on that. Does he deserve it? I mean, really, does he deserve it?
Yeah.
Does he really deserve it? Come on, sing it. You know it. Meditate on this. It's an audience of one. Just talk to God. Say, my hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
This is not your neighbor. This is just you and him. This is just you and him. You and him.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
If he spared your life, this is your song right here.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Ooh,
yeah. If he kept your mind, this is your song right here. This is your song right here.
Hallelujah, Lord, to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Come on, why? Why?
You deserve it.
Just cause you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Come on, help him out. My hallelujah belongs. You just talking to him, nobody else. This is not for your neighbor, this is personal. My hallelujah belongs to you. Close your eyes. Think about that.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Nobody else.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Now tell him why. Tell him why.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
From the bottom of my heart, that's all I got. That's all I got is a hallelujah. That's all I got. All the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Thank you, Lord. Everything I owe.
All of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory. I can't even take the credit. Come on, lift your hands right here. Why? Tell them why.
You deserve.
Come on, lift your hands up. It's a personal song. From the depths of my heart.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. A tear run down my face.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. Hallelujah, 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 come on, go with me, hallelujah, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, come on, say it, you deserve, yes, Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus, how can I pay him, you deserve. You deserve.
Nobody deserves his praise. His praise goes to him.
Come on, there it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah. All the glory. All the honor. All the praise you deserve.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You just deserve it. You deserve repayment. You just deserve it.
You deserve.
It's mine. It's my personal hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
It's my personal. I bought it. I bought it. I bought it to pray. I bought it to church with me.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
You're serenading without music. My hallelujah belongs to you. Now tell him why. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, Pastor. Come on, give him praise. Go ahead and give him praise. Go ahead and give him praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God sure for that wonderful word. Sharing money. Saying, hey, and challenge us to look back over our lives and realize how much we owe God.
Yes.
Amen. We owe him a whole lot. And there's no way we could ever, ever, ever pay him back.
Yes.
But what we can do is give him the worship and praise that he deserves. Because
yes.
He is a mighty good God. So thank you, God. Thank you. God, for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing and all that you will do. Amen. We'll never really be able to praise God like he deserves until we get to heaven. Because when you get to heaven and you look back all your life and wonder how in the world did I get to a place like this? Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Amen. So thank you so much. Thank you again, Cheryl, for blessing us with the word. And then Sister Carlos for giving us our songs, and all of you that joined in, whether you were blowing your horn or giving verbal testimony or just praying for one another while we were here, we certainly appreciate it. And we just thank God for all of you. We thank him for just giving us a day where we could meet out on the parking lot again. Now next, we'll be doing, if it's no rain next Sunday, first Sunday, we'll be doing the same thing. Because the first Sunday is our outdoor day in June. Amen. We'll change in July and do it differently, but the first Sunday should be an outdoor day. But if it's raining, we'll be inside. We'll be on campus next week, unless it's just something really severe. Amen. So we'll see you then. We hope God bless you with a great week and a great day. And God is good. As I always say, if he don't bless me no more, he's already blessed me enough. Amen. More than I ever need. So we're thankful to see all of you back this morning. It's been a great time in the Lord. And those of you, thank you for joining us on podcast. All of you that are on podcast this morning. Amen. We pray gradually as conditions get better and better. We see so much progress. Amen. Because of the vaccinations and people that have already had COVID and things that gradually getting back to normal. We pray that it will be in the same in the church, that we can all go back in so that we can go back out. Amen. Because that's what the Lord have us to do, to go out and represent Him with all of the gifts that He's giving us. So we pray that will be good, and that will happen, and He's still blessing us. It's just a wonderful time. We hope you have a good Memorial Day, remembering, amen, the sacrifices of those who fought in the wars on behalf of our country. Amen. All I wish is that we had, even though we have a good country, but we have a long way to go. I wish that because of their sacrifice, our country could be far better than it is now. But God is still God, and He's still a great God, and He's blessing us. Amen. With all of the shortcomings, we still probably live in one of the best countries in the world. So we thank God for that. Thank you again. We're about ready to give the benediction for all of you that are out here.
Police are out. Be careful.
All right. Say we got the policeman out and checking the speed. But we know we got good Christian people here that don't have to worry about that. So we always drive within the speed limit and we do what's right. So we thank God for that.
Wow.
Amen. And when we don't do what's right, amen. That's all right, because we're paying for what's doing what's wrong. Amen. We're willing to pay the ticket. Amen. We'll be paid up to do what's right at that moment. And God helps us to pay himself. But we hope and pray that won't happen to anybody here. Amen. All right. And the only reason it won't happen because God hasn't been gracious. And we passed by and we looked back and He went after us. So God is good.
Which car was that?
Amen. We thought He was coming out there, but He pulled somebody else over. Somebody paid the price for you, like Jesus did on the cross. It should have been you, but somebody paid the price. Amen. All right, let's go, y'all. All right, benediction. God, we thank you for all that's happening here. Thank you for your word that you put in Cheryl's mouth. We thank you for the songs of the callers and all those that have gathered, praying for one another, and the fellowship that we have with one another. All those that are listening upon the podcast and making encouraging statements there, and that are praying for us, and just not only our church, but all the churches that are opening your name this morning, just lifting up the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness and your mercy toward us. Now unto Him that's able to keep us and present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God, our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thank you.